It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's talk legal. Let's talk legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law here on the Talk Station, and Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins with us this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
So what are we talking about today?
Ben, I actually ran into a friend of mine this weekend who's a loyal listener and asked him the question. He had made some comments about listening to the program and how he enjoyed it so much. And I asked him what he would like to hear about. And he said, you know, Wes, I think that I'd like to hear about what it takes or what do you need to be concerned with in an upstart business. You know, starting a brand new business, what are all the twists and turns of that? You guys, you know, give us some advice with regard to that. And I told him, I said, you know, that's great to put it in that context because we've talked about corporations.
What do you do when you're ongoing?
Yeah. Right. And we've talked about, you know, what you do as far as a corporation LLC, but we really never talked about that whole package. What do you do when you start an upstart business? So that's what we're going to talk about today.
And, you know, Ben, before we get into that, just to let our listeners know, that is such a great suggestion and such a practical topic. And, you know, we do come in here every week, week after week, and, of course, the weeks just fly by. We'll do a program on Tuesday morning, and next thing we know, I think to myself, my gosh, it's Tuesday again. You know, and we are a bit in our radio fog, if you will, in terms of what do we talk about every Tuesday morning. And so, listeners, you know, if you have any suggestion whatsoever, please call into the station here, and give a suggestion, and we will be more than happy to talk about that, or try to talk about that.
You can call us, email us. We'd be happy to hear your suggestions. Yeah.
Now, this topic, is just such a great topic, and we do get folks who come by all the time who maybe have been through the community college program on starting up a business and all of the things that one should consider when they start their own business, their own concern.
Yeah, and they have a great small business center.
They do. They absolutely do. And they'll come in and interview we, the lawyer, and talk to us. And of course, you know, the first thing that everyone jumps to, of course, is, well, I hear I need to incorporate, you know, and we're going to talk about that, you know, and choice of corporate entity, you know, corporation, S corp versus C corp. And of course, limited liability or limited liability company. And we can talk about that. We are going to talk about that.
Or sole proprietorship,
correct. But, of course, you know, right off the top, you have to say, you know, is it time to incorporate? I mean, if you haven't even made your first dollar, you know, you might want to make your first dollar before you, you know, jump off into the corporate arena because, again, even though, yes, as a lawyer, we would love to see you incorporated, you know, for personal reasons, for to protect yourself from personal liability. A corporation requires that you stand up and act like a corporation.
Right.
It's going to require a corporate tax return. It's going to require a corporate annual report and filing fee with the Secretary of State. It's going to require some minimal ongoing expense with your lawyer every year. Not a lot, a couple hundred dollars, but still, all of that on an annual basis, you know, a few hundred dollars is going to add up. And if you have not even made a first dollar or you're concerned about the whether your business is going to take off or not, that might be something you might want to consider. And you might very well stay in the sole proprietorship mode where you're just doing business on your own, reporting that income on your own tax return, on your schedule, as ordinary income to you personally until such time as you think you're kind of ready to take that next step.
Okay. Again, a lot of good, important steps to take in there, too. I mean, we admire anybody who wants to be an entrepreneur and open
now
up a business.
Now, we got to stop here for just a minute and talk about one or more persons, of course, as a partnership.
Right.
And many people like the comfort mm-hmm. of starting their own business with one other person or a couple mm-hmm. of different people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all our famous ones that we think of, you know, Facebook and Yahoo and
yeah.
so many
right.
other, you know, businesses that are now, you know, of a historic nature, all started with more than one person.
Oh, I came to Carteret County as a result of a college group of kids starting that.
Yeah. Yep. And so, you know, sometimes they'll come in with their buddy, their friend,
mm-hmm.
you know, and of course, you know, we're together. We're going to do this together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a partnership.
Right.
So if we're talking about the, you know, the individual who's going to start up the business, mm-hmm. it is a little bit easier. When we get into, you know, two or more individuals who are going to start this business up together, I think the best advice would be, you know, you probably do need to seek legal counsel at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're starting up as an individual starting this business, then I agree with Cecil, then in most situations it's probably going to be, you know, better off for the business to start out as a sole proprietorship, to, you know, to save your pennies there at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then we work toward a business entity of some sort in the event you're bringing on employees or you've got, you know, independent contractors that are working under you.
Right.
You're just growing a little bit or maybe accumulating some assets, accumulating maybe computer equipment or maybe it's landscaping equipment or whatever
yeah.
it could be.
Well, and mm-hmm. and also, let me just ask, and the growing liability issues, I think, would be one of those.
Liability is
well.
Obviously going to grow more with the more work that you do mm-hmm. because obviously you're providing some type of service or product to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's where the liability grows. And the more people you reach, the more potential liability there is for, you know, obligations that you may have. You know, under the business.
Right.
So just kind of sticking with that single person, mm-hmm. business theory, I agree. You know, you look at the sole proprietorship first, and that's basically just getting your business license, you know, starting up the business. I would recommend having your insurance in place at that point in time. So you've got some liability insurance. You
mm-hmm.
can talk with, you know, a good reputable insurance agent on that to help with that. But maybe then moving toward that corporate entity at some point in time in the future. Now, when we look at our choice of corporate entity, there's really just two that would make sense. It would be a LLC, limited liability company,
mm-hmm.
Or a corporation, which if you're a small corporation, is probably going to be an election of an S-Corp,
right.
Which is basically just a corporation that's taxed as a partnership. So there's like flow through taxation.
Mm-hmm. Meaning that it flows back into your income, is that?
That's correct. Yep.
And losses too.
That's right. Yep. Right. So, basically when you're making that selection as it relates to LLC or a corporation,
mm-hmm.
There's kind of a significant laundry list of things that you look at as far as that election goes. Now, in many cases, it comes down to tax questions about whether you're going to have employees or not have employees. In many cases, I'm telling my clients, well, I don't care that much as to whether you're going to go the LLC route or the corporation route.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk with your accountant about it and see what the recommendation is based on what you see the future of with your business. But as far as starting up, you know, that entity, in general, I would say that if you're going to have employees and you see that this is a business that where there are going to be several employees, you know,
right.
under you,
mm-hmm.
then you're probably going to be looking more toward a corporation. LLCs are normally seen, although that has changed over the past several years, normally seen in you know, historically as maybe kind of a, you know, maybe flipping property, that
right.
type thing, owning
mm-hmm.
rental property. Those type of issues, but
yeah, and we've had, in fact, the question here years ago. I think it came up of should I have more than one LLC, depending on what you do.
That's correct. And you know, this program today is not necessarily about all the nuts and bolts of mm-hmm. corporate entities.
Mm-hmm.
It's more about, you know, what you do, you know, when you're starting up an upstart business. So let's not get into all those nuts and bolts,
sure.
but let's kind of hit the high points with regard to that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about a limited liability company as compared to a corporation or in conjunction with a corporation, you know, what you're talking about is limiting your liability. I mean,
right.
you're wanting all of your business-related liability to be in that one nice little box, mm-hmm. and that box is the corporation or the LLC. So what I mean by that is that, you know, if you own a home, you own a personal car, mm-hmm. you have some savings, in the event that your business is sued, or if your business has maybe some contract liability over a contract it couldn't pay,
right.
or got stuck with a house, mm-hmm. you know, that it couldn't flip, then we want that liability to stay with in that box, mm-hmm. in the LLC or in the corporation, not to extend toward your car and your house and your savings and mm-hmm. all your other stuff. And if you properly incorporate, whether through it's a LLC or a properly incorporated corporation, and you're acting like an LLC or corporation, and we'll talk about what that means, acting mm-hmm. like, in just a moment, then the liability for that business would stop with what's in that box. Now, what we want to have in the box is maybe just minimal things, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit of equipment, you know, maybe we've got a lease, we're renting through the LLC or
right.
the corporation, but we're not wanting to load it up with assets, because then those assets are subject to that liability that we're exposing ourselves to by mm-hmm. providing a service or a product to the public.
Mm-hmm. So you don't want to load it up with assets.
Right? You do not want to load it up with assets. No, mm-hmm. I mean, we don't like, you know, corporations, you know, small, you know, Eastern North Carolina mom and pop corporations or LLCs with mm-hmm. $50,000 sitting in the bank account.
Right.
Pay yourself.
Right.
You know, don't load that bank account up, because there could be some liability with regard to that.
Okay. Yep. Again, some good basic advice. We'll come back to some others of that. And you are probably developing questions on your own right now, too. So you can give us a call at 800-818-2255, 247-728-2353-4674. If you'd just like to email me, you can send an email to ben@thetalkstation.com, and we'll have more to come in a moment. Hey, welcome back. This is Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And also, Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law here on the Talk Station. And join us this morning also, besides Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, we have Rick from Emerald Isle with a question for us. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
I have a question about these LLCs. What type of bank would lend? How do you get funding if there's no assets in that LLC?
Well, that's a good question, Rick, and thank you for that. The lending institution is going to be okay with the real estate being owned by the limited liability company, the title being in the limited liability company, and pledging the real estate as collateral, but they are going to require that the individual member owner of the LLC, namely Rick, most likely, individually guarantee the note. Okay, that's the
So financing is different from liability issue here, then.
I mean, well, liability with the finance.
Rick is asking more of a collateral, you know, mm-hmm. A collateralization issue, kind of what's another word, financing, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same thing in a corporation. I mean, banks don't lend money to upstart or small corporations or upstart small limited liability companies.
Mm-hmm.
I guess banks do lend money to Yahoo, okay?
Right.
All right. But ABC Company here in Carteret County, you know, Harvell and Collins, I mean, we're a corporation, okay? But Wes and I, if we need to borrow money, okay, even mm-hmm. though we are a corporation, our bank is going to require that we personally guarantee mm-hmm. that loan. Now, the loan is in the name of the corporation. And the property that's being pledged as collateral may be in the name of the corporation or the LLC.
But they need a back door.
But they need a back door. They need a guaranteed signature. Mm-hmm. And that would be... Now, Rick, did I answer your question?
Well, would you not... So you wouldn't see that individual's name on that deed of trust, then that would be a private guarantee to the bank.
That's right.
That's correct. The reason you wouldn't see the name of the person on the deed of trust is because the person doesn't own the property. The entity owns the property. The LLC is pledging the property. So the LLC.
So that would be like a co-signer then. You would be like a co-signer for your LLC.
You would be known as a guarantor.
Which is very similar to being a co-signer.
Right.
Co-signer has equal liability to the other co-signer, while the guarantor is saying, well, if this LLC doesn't pay, I'll pay.
Yeah, it's in the second position there.
Yep. But still.
And so you're saying lawyers couldn't permeate that close relationship between that guarantor and the LLC in the event of a lawsuit, as in sometimes you can vicariously find the father guilty for the son's transgressions.
Yeah.
I would think in some lawsuits. You know, that's the only thing that doesn't look clean as they say it does.
Well, the personal liability extends to whoever is the guarantor on that promissory note with the bank. But let's say there's, you know, liability outside of that loan through the LLC.
Let's say you own some property and somebody got injured.
Yeah, if somebody gets hurt. Well, you know, obviously, if the property is owned in the LLC, then, and that's really all that's owned in the LLC, then the plaintiff can only go after what's held in the LLC, which would be the property, and that's it. And, you know, can't go outside of that box. And if the property is leaned up, if it has a mortgage on it, like you're talking about, that might be quite a deterrent from any plaintiff's attorney going after what's held by the LLC. But then what they would do is they would try to pierce the corporate veil. They would look at your bank account. They would look at commingling of funds. They'd look at, you know, whether you walked, talked, and acted like an LLC or a corporation. And in the event they could pierce that corporate veil and they were successful with that in court, they could go after those assets that are held by the members outside of the LLC.
But Rick, let us hasten to say, just because you have, or not you, but someone has personally guaranteed an LLC debt, okay, does not in and of itself and would never give sufficient grounds to pierce the corporate veil.
Right.
Just okay. For that alone.
Personally guaranteeing a corporate promissory note or an LLC promissory note is standard protocol, as we discussed 5 minutes ago. The courts, everybody, we all understand that a bank is not going to loan money to an ABC corporation or to an ABC limited liability company. That just simply isn't going to happen in commerce this day and time. They are going to require that there be a personal guarantee. And so that exists and that happens. That is standard protocol. Therefore, it is not an element of a pierce the corporate veil claim because it's standard. It has to happen.
Gotcha.
All right. Thanks, what? Rick.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that. I will take a short break. We'll come back with more here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station. Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law. Hey, welcome back to Let's Talk Legal. Follow up a bit on Rick's question there from Emerald Isle. So, excellent question.
Just
to
follow up a bit on Rick's question and pierce the corporate veil, because we've just got a couple minutes here. Pierce the corporate veil issues are more like Rick has an LLC, okay, and he created it, but he doesn't have an operating agreement. He doesn't have membership certificates that ever got issued to the real owners of the LLC. the LLC is not in good standing with the Secretary of State. Annual reports have not been filed. It is administratively dissolved.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate tax returns have not been filed for this limited liability company. Guess what? There is no federal ID number for this limited liability company.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even have a bank account in its name assigned to the federal ID number that is assigned to the limited liability company. There has been commingling of personal assets of the member
mm-hmm.
and the limited liability company assets, okay? These are the kinds of things that a superb litigator such as Mr. Collins is going to have a day in court with, okay,
mm-hmm.
and is going to want to see and will be able to then pierce the corporate veil, because that limited liability company has not been up walking and talking like a limited liability company.
In other words, filing for an LLC or a corporation is not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
You've got to follow through with the details.
You have responsibilities.
Okay, now they're not terribly onerous.
Right.
I mean, most people have a federal ID number and file a tax return and have a bank account. And, you know, those things are not that mm-hmm. difficult to do.
Normal course of business.
Also, normal course of business will be that the limited liability company goes and borrows money from a bank. And a bank says, we will absolutely, Mr. Rick, lend you money for your limited liability company. But we will require that you and your wife
mm-hmm.
personally guarantee the loan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is normal business.
Right.
So that is not going to be grounds to pierce the corporate veil, because that's normal business. That's just like filing the tax return.
Mm-hmm. And again, it's important while we're talking about setting up a business, and we're talking from obviously somebody who's starting with a very basic idea and growing the business and encountering some issues that require an LLC.
Right. And one of those issues, you know, that comes up that we get questions about all the time is, you know, can I set this up by myself?
Mm-hmm.
And you just heard the laundry list of things that Cecil went through
mm-hmm.
that could potentially be problems that could lead to a piercing of that corporate veil. The main reason from an attorney standpoint that you're setting up this corporation or this LLC is to protect yourself from that liability that you will be exposing yourself to. So, you know, at Harvell and Collins, we meet with people all the time, and I meet with them in a litigation context where they do have a corporate entity, but they tried to set it up themselves, or they did it through, you know, a 1-800 service or something like that. And invariably, there are problems with those.
Right.
There's no tax ID number. There was never an account set up. There was never any advice given with regard to how to use funds,
mm-hmm.
how not to commingle funds. Their annual reports weren't done. There are no bylaws or no annual meeting minutes. I got articles of incorporation, and
that's it.
This is what I got, and I got this in the mail, and this is all I have. Well, mm-hmm. that is not even worth spending the money you spend on that. So,
but next week, maybe we can talk about how you fix that, too.
And we will continue this how to upstart a business, your business license, application for that, and some other technical things.
If you want to get more advice, call Harvell and Collins at 252-726-9050.